Okay. Great. You are absolutely right in everything that you said, with the exception of one thing. This chart doesn't do any of that. Okay. The chart doesn't do that. The flow of recognition does that. That is, recognition does that. Those things. Recognition shapes behavior, stimulates creativity, and directs our communication. Those, so you may want to think of it in terms of a short introduction of like that. That is, the flow, the short for flow recognition is F-O-R. So for, you have a couple of the bullets here, shapes behavior. It stimulates creativity. We might put stimulates or suppresses creativity. Oh, my spelling is terrible. Creativity. It directs our communication. What kind of communication? Internal? External? Verbal and nonverbal. Both of those. Okay, so I'm typing it there. Please take note of those, because if all the other stuff is gone, S and I, you gotta, one of the things when you go to tag team marketing, and many places that are about helping you know how to communicate with yourself, George Frazier does it wonderfully. He calls it the elevator pitch. In tag team marketing, you got 60 seconds. You got to tell what something's about. So often, to get somebody's attention, that's all the time you have, okay? Sometimes you don't have 2 hours to get somebody's attention, even if you're in a two-hour workshop, okay? To get somebody's attention, sometimes you need to be able to capsulize what something is about, and once you got their attention, they will follow you. It's like an introduction to a paper. Now, that's fresh for me because I'm actually Mom Woosie just checking your daughter's paper for her review on the summer. And so an introduction, the job, it is to get my attention, to get me like, oh, okay, this is important, or this is cool, or this has something for me, or, all right. So you want to be able to say, for example, this chart, all right, what it does is it is a chart about the flow of recognition, and it teaches us to understand and manage our flow of recognition. That's what the chart does, okay? Is about or details or illustrates, if you like that, the flow of recognition, F-O-R. That's what the chart does. And it allows us to be aware of and to manage our F-O-R. Now, what's flow of recognition? Now, flow of recognition is critical because it is recognition that shapes behavior, stimulates or suppresses creativity, directs our communication, internal, external, verbal, and nonverbal. Now, you think you got somebody's attention? Is that a good tight package as a way to go into this slide? Any questions about that or comments about that? All right, attention, you got 2 minutes before you got to turn into a pumpkin. So give me some feedback.
It's funny, I just started putting my tennis shoes on. What's interesting is that I used the flow of recognition this weekend because I went to Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama this weekend because I had to pick up my mother. But anyway, so I went there, and we went to Columbus, Georgia, and my sister made a comment that my mother's starting to get really negative. Every time she's saying something, it's negative, whether she means it or not. And I tell my mother, she needs to flip the script. She needs to have a positive flow of recognition. And you know, I was half teasing, but I was serious because I did notice that I have noticed myself that she's been a bit negative the past few years. And so the way I said it was kind of a calming voice, and like I'm moving my hand now, I was talking to her. And so her and my sister stopped and just started looking at me. But they saw that my expression was a little different from usual, and so it kind of stopped things. And so my mother just started, she honestly just started talking about something else.
So you flipped the script. That's exactly what you did. You flipped the script. You didn't follow the normal, what they had expected. What would you have normally done? What would have normally come out?
I probably would have rolled my eyes and just shook my head. And just, that's pretty much it. Just roll my eyes and shake my head.
And what would that have said? I mean, you got to give us a little interpretation. So what was rolling your eyes and flipping your, what turned your head? What would that have said? What would be the message behind that?
As my family knows me, it just means, oh, brother, here we go. And so it's just like, I really don't want to hear that, and I'm shutting down because I'm blocking you off because I don't want to hear anymore.
Great, okay. All right, great. Wonderful. So you kept it open instead of negative being or doing, rolling your eyes and whatever. And so now I'm going to let you go because, you know, we can get going. And you told me you had to leave by 8 o'clock to get to your meeting at 8:15. Y'all give her your best.
Thank you very much. Good night, everybody. Sorry I could not stay, but, you know, got to get this tooth taken care of.
All right, Pants, I'm proud of you, girl.
Me, Dassey. Mo.
Oh, you're welcome, sister. We'll save this text chat for you. And the audio, too. Okay. All righty. So, for Valerie and Mawusi, you do see here... you can scroll up in the text chat. We talked about, I want you to give your response to this short. What I'd asked Artense to do is I said, okay, here is the chart, the flow of recognition. What is this chart about? And so she started saying some things, and it stimulated me providing some short versions. She said, this chart shapes behavior, and of course the chart does not, okay? Recognition does, and the flow of recognition does, and so I think everybody was in when you saw that. So give me a response to shapes behavior. That is the flow of recognition. I mean, if you will scroll up, you'll see right after hi Valerie and greetings everyone at 7:53, 28 seconds. It says the chart helps shape. Our being or recognition shapes our being. Oh, that was my response to our tense. It should have been a question. Does the chart help shape our being or this recognition? And she was saying the chart does that. And I wanted to then say the flow of recognition, F-O-R, okay, you see that? F-O-R, shapes behavior, stimulates or suppresses creativity, directs our it should be communication. I got communication, wow. Internal, external, verbal, nonverbal, and the chart is about, or it details or illustrates, whichever you prefer, the flow of recognition. And what it does is allows us, it's a tool to help us become more aware of the flow of recognition and to manage our flow of recognition. All right, where you sit?
Greetings, Mama Mawusa, and like I said, I apologize for being tardy, but I'm going to jump in here and see how I would explain what the flow of recognition is, at least what this chart details. I would say that the chart illustrates, it illustrates the flow of recognition, and that it allows us to manage and become more aware of the flow, our flow of recognition. And that what the flow of recognition does, it actually shapes our behavior. It stimulates our creativity. It either stimulates or suppresses the creativity. And also it directs our level of communication. And that would be either internal, external, as well as the verbal and nonverbal communication skills that we have. How's that? And also, I wanted to share, but I'll wait until we get past this part, too. Thank you.
Great. We'll do that. We'll double back. Excellent. So I want both of you to try your hand just at how you say that. And that's just important because, again, that's an elevated piece. As I was listening, Valerie, one other thing, under the under the chase behavior, we might put positive, to positive or negative, or chase behavior, positive or negative, just like we said, and it stimulates or suppresses creativity. So you might just throw that in there, that it shapes behavior, positive or negative, and it stimulates or suppresses creativity. All right, great. Okay, Mawusi, come on. You're talking to some folks, and they say, what in the world is that, you know, chart? What's that about?
I'm sorry, you all. Please, I have a sleepy baby. So if you could be patient, be a little bit patient with me. Okay. This feel the flow of recognition chart. It teaches us. It basically illustrates the flow of recognition. It teaches us to manage this flow of energy. The flow shapes behavior towards positive or negative, and it stimulates creativity. It directs communication, internal and external, verbal, nonverbal, and it also, we have to remember that communication is a behavior-shaping institution. That's what I wanted to share. I was thinking about it being a behavior-shaping institution, cultivating the way that a person looks at themselves. One of the things I was thinking about was, boy, you ain't gonna be nothing. You never gonna be nothing. And you're recognizing the child, but you're also taking something away from him. You're also shaping the way he looks at himself.
Yes, you indeed, you are. You're right on the money. And please do not apologize for your sleepy child and your crying child. We do understand, and it is, you know, magnanimous of you to be lending us any of your time, sister. So, you know, you take care of the baby and jump in where you can. There's no, you know, criticism here. There are no grades given out here. Okay? You know, I don't want my calling on you to tell you, okay, you got to respond right now. I just want you to know that I recognize that you're in the room. So what I'll do is just have some space, and if you want to jump in, then jump in, okay? Because if you need to jump out and be out for a minute, you got it, okay? Well, we family people. We African. Ain't no desperation here. All right, so excellent job. Now, Valerie, you were going to say something. There. I do want to say, Mawusi, what you said is absolutely right. This, all of this, if you remember, the feelings as messengers, or FAM, is primarily about the affective or feeling component. Of course, it dovetails with thinking and communication, etc. But it really is about coming to know that part and the power of it and how to use it and manage it and balance it, etc. And the cognitive part is here, okay? FOR, flow of recognition, is about the communication, whether it's verbal or nonverbal, okay? And so everything that we do, verbal or nonverbal, is a form of recognition, all right? And I often don't lead with that. I lead with, you know, recognition and But you're absolutely right. Any communication, if I say hi, if I say whatever, it either in some way that communication shapes behavior, or it either stimulates or suppresses creativity. So that's one way if you want to talk about communication. Now what this chart will do is allow us to become more aware of that communication and how to manage it in ways that it will shape the behaviors that we want and will stimulate the creativity that we want or need. Okay, so you are right. Communication, you know, verbal or nonverbal, shapes behavior. But communication there, we use another word for recognition. Because any type of communication is, in fact, recognition. You with me? All right, Valerie, what were you going to say?
I just wanted to jump in and say that I've really been applying this information, and that it's really working in my life. As a matter of fact, week before last, I had a situation that could have really blown up, and if I had allowed myself to substitute mad, as like I usually do, And I'm making this point because I use spam and flow of recognition to handle this particular situation. But it was a situation where we asked someone that we knew to communicate a message over to our son and for him to contact us. But when she went over, and created just a horrible mess in regards to he and his mate, and just was ugly, almost just ended up being violent. She ends up calling me, but instead of responding, I took the time out a day or two before I even talked to her in order to just process my feelings about it. So when I did talk to her, she was still in the uproar to brag or to get me to gather in with whatever it was that she was feeling. And instead of going that way, because normally I would have gone off and just told her it was really silly and she shouldn't act that way and, you know, it's just stupid and, you know, all this kind of talk. But instead, I started out, even though she was up loud, I kept my voice down. And I just talked to her about the kind of person that I thought she was and how beautiful her spirit was. And that I'm afraid for her putting herself in those type of positions or she may end up hurt. And I know that she could do better than that. And so I was giving her all this positive recognition in spite of her interrupting and wanting to kind of say something to escalate it. But you know what? We were on the phone probably a couple minutes before she told me, well, you know, I got to go. My mom's calling me. And that just totally diffused that situation. But I felt good about myself because I didn't get caught up with arguing about just how crazy that situation was and being angry about it. But in fact, I was sad for her. I was more sad, even though at first I might have been mad because she did go over and bother my son. But I was more sad for her and her behavior in terms of expressing herself that way. And also I was scared for her because I realized if she continues to do that, she's probably going to put herself in harm's way. And it really, I just noticed the growth since this short time that I've been practicing this, is that it really works. I'm just saying thank you. And I just wanted to share that. Thanks for allowing me to share it. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing it. And for using it. That's just what it's about. This is, you know, for me, if it's just rah, 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 and it's cute and it's another theory, it's nothing. All right, and Mawusi, I want to add something to you, to yours, or provide an option for you. As you said, this disarms mad, and you got in parentheses, so that may be, you may be saying the same thing. What it really does is it affirms the person so they don't substitute mad for scared. Because the more I feel bent out of shape, or no, the more I think that I'm worthless, the more I beat myself for how I handle something, the more I'm telling myself I'm stupid, then the feeling that goes with that is scare, okay? And scare that the other person also believes that. And so what is often substituted for that is anger, okay? If a person is legitimately mad, feeling mad, that is because you just ran over their car or something, you violated them, then I don't know that. See, I don't know in terms of it uncovered the truth. What truth are you talking about? Okay, see, this is where it's really important for you to get to. I don't know that she was mad in the first place. Okay, I don't know that she was mad in the first place. So when you say she couldn't stay mad, now I expect anybody to say that who doesn't know, but I don't know that. Maybe Valerie can, whatever. That is, you see, what I guess is that, see, when you say uncover the truth, in this case, are you talking about the true feeling? Because again, when we're talking about emotions, it's important that you say the emotion. When you say uncover the truth, I have no idea what you're talking about. So you can tell me. What do you mean? Because I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't know. Help me out. She couldn't stay mad. It uncovered the truth.
At first, I was thinking, like, okay, at first she came off all big and bad and everything. And then when Mama Valerie, you know, came off affirming her and recognizing her in a more positive way, then it disarmed her mad, angry self, or her trying to substitute for mad, which is, that was the new, when you interjected that, it was like, well, yeah, that's, yeah, okay, that's, that makes more sense. So it disarmed her substitution for mad, and then she, it like diffused that, and I like that word that was used earlier, that diffused her using that substitution, and so then she had to be more, maybe not in her true self of vulnerable or scared of, really, she was probably scared of Valerie and scared of what she thought Valerie thought of her. But I think that it gave her a more, she was in, more in her authentic feeling of fear. But, you know, she was more able to communicate, a little bit better able to communicate, maybe, I thought.
I got you. I don't think it's necessary to make them as sweeping, like it uncovered the truth. That I just encourage you to stay with the feeling pieces. It just, you know, in my experience, you can ignite another, you can ignite a longer conversation and even debate about that. If in fact she was scared, then Valerie's recognizing her positive being and refusing to recognize her negative being, if she was scared, it provided some reassurance. Okay, that's a one way to say it. You can say it disarmed her substitution, and you can also say that it provided some reassurance to her that Valerie didn't think negatively of her and cared about her, as opposed to Valerie doesn't care. Okay. What we're going to is, if you go to what the substituted feeling is, or what your guess of it is, then you see it's providing some reassurance, because that's what you do when somebody is scared, when you can, okay? Now we're used to the language of conflict, okay, and battle, which is what disarm is about, and that's cool, you know, when it's necessary and useful. But more accurately, she's probably in her reassuring, when in her providing a positive being flow, and I say probably because I never say absolutely what somebody's feeling. The only person I can say absolutely what somebody's feeling is me, or what they tell me. And so I always qualify it with probably, or most likely, or something like that, in terms of what they're actually feeling. So that's that. So I wouldn't say it uncovered the truth, because the truth is, what is that? You know, if you want to say uncover my true feeling, then I would do that. And I wouldn't say that a person couldn't stay mad, because you can just choose to stay mad. Anyway, it's certainly difficult to do that when you're mad is a substitution for your scare, and the person is providing reassurance, because the only reason you're substituting mad is to protect yourself, because you don't have the other, you don't know how, or don't trust yourself or trust others to give you the kind of reassurance that you need. So mad is what you do, as we've been trained to do. All right? And it's just, as we go through, part of what I'll do is just encourage you, and all of us, just to keep the language. Just as when our tents were saying this chart does that, then part of what I want to do is fine-tune that, because you're presenting this, and it's easy for people who are wanting to resist it to grab hold of something and go way in the wrong direction. And there's going to be enough of that just by itself. It's important that you retrain yourself how to stay focused on it, because it's difficult for people to flip it to something else. And if you tell me it uncovered the truth, I can have a field day on what's that, disagreeing with that, what's the truth anyway, and we're on down the road. It's 15 minutes. And so staying close to those feeling words really will help you a lot. Trust me, I've already paid, okay? I've been in academic institutions doing this And then you can get just torn up, or try to anyway. You don't ever have to get torn up. And it's okay. That's what I'm here for. So I like that you just jump in and you put it in, and then what my job is to do is to let you know what are some refinements that I suggest based on my experience and what you're going to be doing. Okay? So you cool. All right. Let's, talk some more about this chart. Why did this, I'm gonna pretend that y'all in the workshop, y'all just have presented this, or you're in the middle of presenting this, and I'm somebody from the back row. What does this thing mean? You know, that over there on the right-hand side, you got outside of God's grace. Kills. Don't use unless you want to kill the person. What's that about, Val?
Well, this part of the chart actually illustrates what we refer to as just a negative positive being. And these would be words or saying that you shouldn't never say to someone, because you're not talking about what it is that they did, but you're actually attacking them as a person. And that is the one thing that we don't want to do, because it kills the person, kills the spirit of the person. And we'll never get any type of positive flow of recognition if you're killing it. So you want to definitely stay away from that, and we want to focus more so on building people, building the positive side of it, and more so focus on what it is that was being done, but at the same time building a more positive, or reinforcing more positive or unconditional recognition of the person.
So you want me to be this political correct kind of person, huh? I mean, you know, when I see somebody, if she ugly, she just ugly. You just want me to kind of lie and do this so-called political correct thing and pretend she ain't ugly, you know, or the so-and-so ain't stupid?
No, not necessarily referring to calling somebody ugly, but what I would ask you to do is, how would you feel that if someone referred to you as being ugly, and what would that do to you in terms of how you feel about yourself? And if it's not even ugly, but something else that was negative about you, what does that generate inside of you? What would you feel? Does that help you grow? Does that help you to be positive and to stimulate your creativity and to feel good about yourself?
Well, no, but if somebody think I'm ugly, I don't want them to run around telling me they think I look handsome when they think I look ugly. I want the truth.
Well, the truth is that it's good in all of us, and wouldn't it be easier to focus on something that's good as opposed to saying something negative about a person?
Well, there's good in all of us, but there's bad in all of us, too, see? And so, that's all I'm saying. You know, sometimes, you know, somebody is a criminal. Sometimes they are evil. Sometimes they are ugly. And Lord knows, sometimes they're black.
Okay, well, they may not necessarily be a criminal. They may have done a criminal activity. But as a person, do you not think that maybe they may be that way because somebody told them that they were? And then they just decided to act out what it was?
I'm sorry, do this out. If you keep asking me, I'm going to keep on giving you, you're doing great staying in the game. But when you say, do I not think you won't win it? You know, I mean, it's a long way around, and you can spend a little time with me. Now, this is great. The first one was okay in terms of how I would think what I would think about myself and whether that would make me grow, want to grow, and that kind of thing. Okay, you did great. and you might say, you know, we've heard this all the time. And what's great about this chart is that most of the time when we're talking about somebody is stupid, most of the time we're talking about they did a stupid thing. And if somebody, as you said, Valerie, you say somebody is a criminal, most of the time you're saying they did something that was criminal. Now, when we call them that, when we say you are stupid instead of describing something they did, or when you say, instead of describing that they are criminal, than describing the crime they committed. You're saying they are criminals. Then that means you are sentencing them to that stupidity and criminality for life, because you're saying that's their essence. That's who they are. And often we go there when we don't trust ourselves to hold them accountable for what they do. So, no, I want you to be real. But let's look at, you know, real. Ugly to you is not ugly to someone else. Black, yeah, that's up there because this society says you black, you nappy head, you ugly. Now, the compared to someone, given that that's the mantra for white supremacy to put us down, that's what we say to each other. And that's, you know, yet if you don't like something about a person, about what they do and what they've done, whatever, you might say that. If you go there in this place right here, you see, the opposite of a positive being flow is a negative being flow. And so if you choose to keep going there, you know, under the guise of being real, then you will keep pushing down their growth and ultimately kill them. Let me tell you how powerful this is. There was this experiment called the Erasmus experiment, and you go into there. Okay, so that is, they're saying, I don't want to be phony. And you said, no, I don't want you to be phony either. Often, what we focus on, what we're really trying to talk about is what the person did. What we're trained to say is that that determines who they are. And if we do that, as you said, Valerie, it limits their growth and stunts their growth and ultimately will kill them. It also can manufacture, put people in such a state that they will kill others, okay, and or hurt themselves and or hurt others. So it's, you're inviting them when they says, I want to be real, you want me to be phony. You say, I want you to be real. But now, that's not all of the real they want to be. They also want to build people up, you know. You want them to be real, and so you give them a way in response to say what the person did that they thought was stupid and what was a crime. You're just wiping off the table ugly, black, and evil as what we've been trained to do by racist white people, okay? And we repeat that, okay, to others. And you might say, you know, brother, if you want to keep doing that under the guise of being real, that's up to you. If you think that works, what I've found is that doesn't work. Okay, it doesn't change a person's behavior from a negative behavior to a positive behavior. It doesn't affirm the person. Another way I do, as I say it, is we are watering, when you do that, you're watering the weeds and not the seeds. In every garden, like in every person, there are weeds and there are seeds. And what you want to do is water the seeds and not the weeds. And the more you attend to and try to define someone as a criminal, as opposed to focusing on the crime that they committed, what they did, then you're watering the weeds and they will grow. So this, the negativity, the stupidity, the evilness will grow. And I don't think you want to do that. I know I don't want to do that. I want to have it grow. Or you can say, one other way to just really cut through that is give me an example. So you take it out of the theoretical. Because as long as it's in the theoretical, I can always make up something. Okay? So you said, give me an example of what you're talking about. Just you can, you change the person's name, but just give me a real example. Well, you know, my girlfriend, so. All right, how about that? Give me your response.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I wasn't sure how to kind of like put a period there to be able to make the point, then to move on. But I definitely like the idea of the example, of giving an example, then I can deal with something specifically. And also I like that concept, that watering the weeds and not the seed. So that was good. I think that I kind of jotted down a lot of what you just said. I just need to work on being able to put that together in something that's flowing for me in order to address that, because I'm certain that will come up. Also, yeah, and I wanted to also address, too, that it did address the point that the person would bring up when he said about the part about being real. So it's not skating about being real, you're addressing it, but just giving them another way to look at what being real, or questioning what being real really means.
Great. In fact, I wouldn't question it, I would redirect it. Like you affirm, oh, brother, I want you to be real. Now, this is the last thing we want. This is not a goody-two-shoes kind of whatever. We definitely want to be real. And then it's like, now let's look at what being real is. Do you know people who've done dumb things, critical things, things that have hurt themselves, hurt others? They were drunk, they whatever. They drank a lot of liquor. Well, you know, were they, you know, was that the real essence of them? Or was that something they were doing? They may have been doing it habitually, okay? You see, and now if you, in fact, put that on them, then you lock them into that place. Is that real? Is that what you want to do, for them to be locked into there for the rest of their lives with no option of getting out? Is that real? If you do something that's not smart, or even if you do it habitually, you see what I'm saying? And so you say, you when they, I want to be real, and you're going to get that, oh, it's good to you, like, no, not here. I want you to be straight and real. Real is also, how many of you have a child that you love, and that's real, and they did something that's negative, and they did it repeatedly? Well, which one is real? Are they the devil, or are they your child that you love? And it's wonderful, and a gift from God. You know, and you may not know why they keep doing this. Which one is those real? You see what I'm saying? So don't run away from real. Please go right into real. All right? All right. So, great. You got an example, or are you saying that was an example?
That was a good example of your child. Are you saying that your child is the devil? No. The child is not his actions. His actions is not him. What I was thinking of saying, which I'm just going to throw it out there, is to just stop it by saying, this is incorrect. It is incorrect to call a person by their action. The action is not the person. The person is not the action. Be clear to disassociate the action from the being, and not to slander the person with the action. Instead, by acknowledging or giving recognition to the positive, because that person really is of a higher,
Okay. I would not say this, it is incorrect. I want to mainly, in everything that I was saying in response to that, notice I did not tell the person that they were incorrect. It sounds too parental. You only have two places. You're going to hook the rebellious child in them, or the compliant child in them. So they'll be like, okay, you're right, I was bad, that wasn't good, so okay. Well, they really may have had a good point. They really may have been searching for how do you, somebody that really, that you know, really hurt their mom, or raped them, or did something, or a guy who really hit them, okay? So if you say it's incorrect, and they may be really trying to reach for it, then you're going to either, you know, shut them down, or, because you've taken a position of the parent. And I encourage you not to do that. You know, you can, when you want to be a strong statement, you might say, well, brother, you can do that? I never would do that. And here's why. And you then use an example of yourself, or your children, or whatever. You can say, you know, for years, these are things that I did, and I did repeatedly. And I'm ashamed of those things, okay? But those things that I did wasn't me, okay? The essence of me wasn't those things. And so so I know what happens when people respond and have a flow of recognition that negates the my being and a person's being. And were it not for the person who gave me a positive being flow, who believed in me, who believed that I could overcome my habit, I don't care what it is, smoking, oversex, sleeping around, not keeping my promises, it doesn't matter, okay. That person believed in me. And they believe in me is another way of saying they extended to me a positive being flow. They said to me, that's not you. You are wonderful. This behavior must stop. And them believing in me and extending that flow is what got me. You see what I'm saying? So when I want to be strong, I go, I wouldn't do that. I don't go, that's incorrect. Okay? Not rarely. I mean, you know, you see what I'm saying? Not unless it gets real contentious and you need to boom. But the way I do it is another way it says, you might do that, but I never would do that. Okay? Okay, so you give them room so they can say, okay, that's fine, that's your way, but I'm going to keep mine. You say, I respect that, and you move on. All right? You don't notice when I'm, one of the reasons that people respond to this so well throughout is that they're not parental, a whole lot of parental hooks for them, okay? Because you're getting deep into people's stuff, okay? Even though you're just standing in 2 hours, you're challenging a whole lot of ways that people have been taught, we have been taught to think and relate and communicate, okay, verbally and non-verbally. How many times have I been raised to say, you stupid, you crazy, wish you were never born, you're ugly, you're black, that's just boom. So you're tapping on some stuff, okay? So you're going to, sometimes you'll get somebody will follow you and sometimes somebody will challenge you in here. And typically, greet the challenge as an opportunity, you know, to move them. So the word, like, to redirect them, because often there's something that they're trying to do. Some way that generally, my guess is, trying to protect themselves, and being over here and saying this, it helps them, they think, protect themselves. If I say that person is a criminal, then that person needs to die. If I say the person who killed my daddy is not a criminal, in essence, he's really deep down good, then that means I can't go to the court and say, have him killed. Now, is that true? Is that last statement true? Now, maybe a thought in my head, but is it true that I believe that this person is a good person at their core, but they did something heinous, like kill my daddy, kill 10 people or whatever, that I can't vote for them being fried or locked up for life or something like that? How can I reconcile that? How could you help me on the spot with if that's my situation? Nah, man, let me tell you, man killed my daddy, he was a criminal, you know, needed to be locked up and fried and never see the light of day again. So what's your response to that?
I don't know. You got me. I'm just sitting up here thinking, boy, outside of God's grace. I mean, when you use a scenario like that, like you can kill some people and all of that, and you can't just, I don't know how to use the strategies against something like that, or to help redirect something like that.
Yeah, I was just sitting thinking about that one, and I think that I would definitely agree with him that what he did, the person really did, was very horrible, you know, and it was an evil thing to do. I mean, there's no way if, ands, or buts about it. And he, as a person, I mean, I don't know if he came into the, I don't think he came into the world killing. But over time, when he's been subjected to negative flow of recognition, a negative being, that's the part that we're saying, that it could lead to a person hurting themselves, or worse yet, turn and hurt others. But definitely, that was a horrible, horrible act. I don't know how to get past that other than agreeing that, yeah, focusing more on the act other than just the person.
All right, here's where you use your fam, okay? Here's the intersection. Because this person killed my dad and killed all these people, and I want him killed or I want him locked up forever and a day. All right, two things are going on. First, I'm afraid. I'm afraid for me, for my family, and I'm afraid for others, right? So, I want him locked up or I want him killed. Not because I think he's innately evil. I think based on having been treated a certain way, based on his adaptation, based on him being raised a certain way, based on hurt that was done him, okay, that he's developed a pattern that is not really him, and that that pattern still makes what he him dangerous based on what he's likely to do. So, fry him. Okay, or lock him up. I'm afraid. And we think, okay, that if I see somebody is good, let me give you an example. Let's say my brother, who I love, okay, if my brother is bit by some rabid dog, I don't know that. My brother just looks in, he comes in wild, crazy, and he's trying to kill my daughters. Ife lives with me, the rest of them are gone right now. So he's trying to kill her. Now, this is my brother that I love. I do not think he's a negative being. But I will stop him, and if stopping him means I got to knock him over his head and kill him, guess what? I'm taking him out. You do not have to believe that somebody is innately evil in order for you to take them out. You take people out because you are afraid of them. It is crackers that define people as criminal, even so and so and so, as an excuse for taking people out, even when there's no fear. Okay? Now, do y'all with me? Are you with me on that?
Well, Captain, say that last sentence you just said, that last part again.
Okay. Whenever, I'm going to say it, but then I'll just say it in this way. Whenever the United States is getting ready to invade another country, those people in the country become criminals. Okay? They become, just tell her I'm in class and I'll be out at about 9 and call me back around 9:15, please. I'm sorry. That is, and what is vilified? Yes, by 9:30 will be great. Okay. And tell her I won't let her go hanging tonight. We'll get it right. I'm sorry. They vilify them. They start negative beings, so all they're criminals, they're terrorists. That's a favorite one lately, you know, they're terrorists. Okay, so they're no longer people, the terrorists, okay, which is also why I don't allow students in my school, adults or whatever, to say the slaves, okay. That is, they cease becoming people, and they become vilified and objectified so as to rationalize that we can go in and we can kill them, okay. Now, I don't have to establish that they are a danger to me because, of course, there was nothing in Iraq that would make Iraq a danger to us. There were no weapons of mass destruction. If they were, we sold them to them in the first place, okay? So the point is, it's used. And so what we're used to is thinking that in order for us to protect ourselves, in order for us to say that somebody must die, that we have to say that that is their essence. And I don't have to do that at all. The essence of my brother is not evil. But if he's bit by a rabid dog and I can't restrain him so that he can get some help, then guess what? I need to take him out. Not because he's a bad person, but because his particular condition, in this case, bit by a rabid dog, I don't even have to know what the condition is. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's that belief that if in order to protect myself, I have to vilify the person, okay? And I'm saying, no, you don't, all right? And some nationalists do it. They don't trust themselves to protect themselves from white folks. And so white people got to be all evil and from another planet, whatever. Now, I ain't debating with folks. If you want, if that's your theory, that they from another planet, that they ain't really human, knock yourself out. For me, I will take care of myself, and it doesn't matter to me whether they're from another planet or based on years of climatic change and other kinds of things. They become aggressive and dangerous to me and to my people, and guess what? Based on that alone, I will do what I got to do. Given the opportunity, the chance, and stuff to do that. Or that anybody, any so-called enemy, okay? Are you with me? That's really important, and people will... So what I was responding to is that assumption that I gotta believe that they're innately 100%, 1,000% unrehabilitatable. I ain't gotta do that. They're just dangerous to me right now. I will take you out off the planet.
Yeah, that's loud and clear. I think that just got it down to the very basic level. And I guess that's that, getting down to the fam on how you feel. And so I see that. So if it's somebody that's done something horrible, and instead of, yeah, they're the devil and all this, yeah, it's focusing back on what it is that they did, and if it poses a threat to you, you can still not think that they're the devil, but just the same, feel like that you have to protect yourself, being, in this case of a criminal, lock them up or even have them killed. So I see that.
That's right. You see, you're staying present, okay? If someone is a danger, then you do what you got to do, whatever that is. Sometimes you can just walk away. Sometimes you whatever. But sometimes you take them off the planet if they're a danger, okay? And anyway, so you may, you know, get that. So in this case, you can say, well, I certainly feel it was a danger if somebody done that with me. Notice how I switch now. I don't do a lot of, you know, you oughta, you shoulda. I mean, don't do a lot of that. You can switch it. I can talk about me. Because you can disagree with me, but you can't define what I would do, and you can't fight me about that. Okay? This is where doing your own work and using this in your own life, and knowing many stories about it really helps. Okay? It helps for clarity. It also helps when, because often when you get like disagreements and arguments, it really is not because the person don't like you or doesn't get it. It's because you touched a nerve, okay? And so this is powerful stuff. So you don't have to beat people over the head with it, okay? You just lay it out there. It's powerful enough by itself, okay? You know. And you're powerful in your presentation because it's real for you, because you're using it, you know, doesn't even matter if you're nervous in your presentation. That don't even matter, okay? Because your authenticity speaks through. And one thing, when someone questions or challenges, embrace it. You don't have to take a long time. You can say, you know, wow. Like sometimes I decide to, you know, I've hit a nerve and it's too deep for us to cover in this session. Okay? I think that's Ephraim fear. Oh, then we can't address it in this session. And so what I'll do is I'll say, I hear you. I think it's it'll lead to a destructive end if you continue to do that. That's what you want to do. That's why it says, don't use this unless you want to kill the person. You know, doesn't say don't use it. Is unless you want to kill the person, because that's the effect of it. And if somebody says, well, yep, I want him killed, you say, hey, it's cool. Second, there are times when we use this. Let's look at the times we use this when we don't want the person killed. Let's look at the time when we say something to a person. So that's another way for you to sidestep it, okay? Alright? That is, you don't have to even get into, they killed my daddy and I want him killed or whatever. He says, I hear you. You want the person killed. Let's look at how we use this many times when we actually don't want the person to die or to be killed. Do you ever use that? I know I do. Does anybody ever use this? You say this to yourself? Okay, y'all with me on that?
I try not to use death language. I try not to use that. So.
Great. And what I want you to see is that strategy, because I'm just giving you some strategies here, that is to affirm. And well, it says, You know, because I just went off and on, hey, they killed my dad, and they're criminal, they ought to be killed, or some people are just evil, they're the devil, and what am I? He said, fine, just know if you use it, then you want to, that this has the impact of killing. Over time, and sometimes quickly, but many times over time, our words are powerful, our actions are powerful, the way we recognize people. So if you want the person killed. Now let's look at the times when you say this, or I might say this, and we don't want the person killed. And now there's no argument. You ain't even got into the other part. I gave you that other part so that you understand that piece, because for your own clarity, you can use it if it makes sense. But I'm just saying, you also can go in the way of don't use it unless you want to kill the person. Very often I say, fine, you want them killed, you got the tool right here. Now let's look at when you say this to yourself. Do you want to kill yourself? Let's look at those times. And you just put the other in a box. You know? Does that make sense? As a strategy. Do you see it?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. I'm sitting here, I'm processing it as you're saying it. And I like the way you turn it back around to not just that particular situation when it's a worst case scenario, but just how we use that in everyday language, not only to other people that we don't really mean any harm to. We call it, you know, for whatever reason, we maybe just call ourselves criticizing them, but we're actually killing them. And also in conversation back with ourselves, and we're doing that to ourselves over time. I think that really, for me, I'm sitting here and processing it. And even though, yeah, I know this and I've heard you say it, but it really makes sense. I can see that. I just need to work on organizing my thoughts about this in terms of presenting it. But yes, it's very clear.
Great. Well, you have, plenty of time. You know, my job is to take you to places that, rarely, like you've heard me present, and nobody has said that. But, it's right here. It's right there. It's not a lot of words in this presentation, and it's also by design, okay? Outside of God's grace, that comes from John Henry Clark. Robert Clark said, what oppression teaches us is that we're outside of God's grace. And that is, we're innately evil. We're innately bad. We're lost. We're, boom. Because if you believe that you are affirmed by the cosmos, by God, you are one with God, you are favored by God, then in fact, even if you do things that are negative, you apologize for them, you learn your lessons, because you are favored. And you allow yourself mistakes. If you're outside of God's grace, then that means you're innately evil and blah, 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 and all of that, okay? And that is the opposite of the other side, where you see the star there, and that is just to represent the cosmos or God or supreme being. And in an African cosmology and belief, then, we were one with God. We were an extension of God. Okay, God shined on us. Okay, and so with that, it affirmed our positive being, and therefore, my doing. When I believe that I am good, then I do good things. If when I'm trying to do good things, I err and do something that is negative or has a negative impact, then I learn from that, so that I don't do that again, because that's not what a positive, a affirmed, a child of God does or needs to do. If, on the other hand, I'm outside of God's grace, and you told me and you made me believe that I'm stupid anyway, then I am going to do stupid things. So that's that. All right, we got 4 minutes because we're going to end it at 9. And this is the time and the place for questions, if you have any reflections as we get ready to close up.
All that I can say is Thank you very much. This has truly stimulated my creativity and being able to be positive and my recognition of my peers, of my children, of my husband, of my family, of my people who grow in my outer circle of community and outer inner circle of community. And I know that that will, in turn, build a stronger community and ultimately a stronger nation. I appreciate you, Bob Rochester, for developing this way of articulating our feelings. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Mama Valerie, for your example and being a part of this class.
I just want to say that I want to thank you both. Baba Wakessa, you know, I love you. I appreciate you. And you have just been a very significant figure in my life in a very short period of time, and I'm very grateful for that. And Mama Mawusa, you are just wonderful. I can feel your love all through this computer screen and over the camera and all of that good stuff. And I appreciate you sharing and asking the questions and making the comments to kind of help me get a feel and develop and grow in this area. And I know I jumped in and I was a bit hurried. I felt hurried. What would that be? I guess in that scared category, because I was scared I wasn't prepared to jump in here and to be able to participate and to receive like I was should be, but or could have been, as well as I could have been. But I did receive, and I'm grateful to be here. And I have one question. You mentioned to our tents when she was getting off that you would save, Barbara, because you would save the notes, but you also said something about the audio as well. Did I hear that correctly?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do y'all want the audio of this session? In fact, I got the audio for all our sessions.